Blog Talk Radio.
Internet's working, but the switchboard won't load.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
is going to close. Your unemployment benefits ran out two weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left.
Two weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Waha! I'm so excited for this fabulous Saturday, December 4th. We are broadcasting. Oops, I'm pushing wrong buttons all over the place. There we go. We are broadcasting live from Las Vegas, Nevada, post-NASCAR banquet, and unreal Jimmy Johnson, isn't it? Five in a row. Everybody says, oh, that's not good for the sport. But I say, screw the sport. Go Jimmy. You know, it's kind of like the Lance Armstrong deal. And I think that that's super cool for him. So, whatever. Anyway, that's just my opinion. Anyway, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us on our Remember Real Estate Key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series. Thank you for joining us. We broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone manage their finances and attitudes. Key phrase, finances and a little joiner, conjunction, junction, what's your function? And attitudes for the dual purpose of creating immediate financial wellness today and getting our tails on the path for financial freedom tomorrow and into the future. And we do that each and every week with several segments, all tailored to you, my friends. Yes, you. We have our Millionaire Minute, where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tips you can incorporate into your life right now to start your day the millionaire way. We also have fabulous show guests for our Key segment and Investor's Edge segments, all tailored to giving you specific techniques that you can incorporate right now to begin financial freedom for you and your family. It's pretty fabulous. We also have Minutes on Your Money, where we interpret the week's news, well, interesting news, and share with you why that's relevant to you and what you need to take away from it, how that affects your life. We also have our Key for the week in its entirety, and we explain what the key means, how to incorporate it into your everyday life. And then our Nuts and Bolts segment, which gives you the specific drill-down information about this week's key, plus your key affirmation, key statement, and key action item. Yes, you have a strategy to implement each and every week. It's so fabulous. And then after our broadcast, if you zip over to our website at unlockyourwealth.com, you can download the specific strategy for the week, as a matter of fact. And again, this week's key is Remember Real Estate. And I'm so excited because this, I always say that, where this is where the rubber meets the road. But this is where we begin our pursuit of tangible assets like real estate. So we created our credit, or we recreated our credit, and we've gotten that dialed in. And I'm so excited about this week's Investor's Edge guest because in addition to talking about real estate investment, he's going to tell you, well, we'll see, if he can tell you how you can do it without credit, without moolah, and the big one, without risk. So it'll be interesting. We have Brian Evans joining us, and he is the author of How to Make Money in Your Local Real Estate Market. So we'll chat with him in a while. But first, how about our trivia question, shall we? For those of you joining us for the first time, welcome. Welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad to have you. We hope you stay a while, kick the tires, try things on. Don't take my word for gospel, but do try to prove me wrong by implementing these techniques and see what happens. It can't be any worse than what you're doing now, right? Or you wouldn't be looking for alternatives. So we have our trivia question for the week, and we draw our trivia question from a previous show. And that previous show just happens to be this week's Midweek Update, which we talked about charitable giving. Hello. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Yes, she does. So we talked about charitable contributions on the cheap and what you can do this holiday season to give without crunching your budget. So we talked about some different techniques and some things that you could do every day, not just for the holidays, that cost you absolutely nothing. We discussed several things. But specifically, I am looking for some of these options that I gave you that you can give and return back to the community, some of the abundance that you feel that you have had. And even though you might be crunched this year, you can still give in non-cash ways. So that is your trivia question for the week. You, by answering the trivia question correctly, could win fabulous prizes. You could win an autographed book for one of our previous show guests. You could win financial coaching. You can win credit report review, which is $150 value. Coaching is $300 an hour, so there's you're totally, totally dialed in. That's four financial coaching sessions. So that's pretty exciting. You could also win personalized books from me. I have Yes, You Can, a book I wrote about empowerment, the seven elements of self-empowerment, and I also have Bushido Business should be here any day now. I got my shipping notice. I'm like, where's my books? Where's my books? My people want my books. I'm getting orders. I can't fill the orders. So stressful. Anyway, all you have to do is answer the trivia question correctly, and you can win one of a myriad of valuable prizes. All you have to do is if you think you know the answer, you can call in, chat in, or email in to win. If you call in, that's area code 718-508-9002. 1-718-508-9002. And our fabulous program director and engineer, Elena DeFiore, would be happy to take your potential right answers. You can chat in because she is also moderating our chat room today. Visit her if you're listening live from the Blog Talk Radio show page. Simply log in, friend the show, become a follower, lead by becoming a follower. And then just pop in the chat room and tell her, hey, I think I have the answer. And she'll take your answer. And finally, if those two things are not an option, you can always email in at trivia@uywradio.com. uywradio.com. And send us what you think could be that potential right answer. So again, from the midweek update this week, we talked about charitable giving on the cheap. And we're specifically looking for non-cash ways that you could give back to your community this holiday season. So that is your trivia question. So I'm excited about that. Visit our website for this week's strategy. We had a little snafu, so we left last week's strategy up for our key members. If you are not familiar with our website, please surf on over and kick the tires, take a look around. Our key membership is our free membership. There's no charge for you. All you have to do is sign up and create your free membership. With that, you receive each Saturday the new strategy. It's available for 24 hours for your download. You can listen to previous show broadcasts, check out interviews, watch our video series. If you want to hurry up and cram through the Keys to Riches, you can do so on our website. We have a blog, a forum, chat area, all kinds of stuff, all set up just for you to create financial wellness today and financial freedom for you and your family for your future. It'll get you on the path. I'm so excited. I also want to tell you, you can, for less than 55 cents a day, become a premium member by investing in your financial future. You will have unlimited access to all of the shows. You can download written transcriptions from our celebrity show guests, as well as entire episodes or portions thereof. Plus, by signing up for our premium membership and enrolling, you receive a copy of our Best of Season 1, our collection of interviews. We'll be thrilled to ship you one of those upon your joining our website. So be sure to surf on over for that. Also on our website, we are having a little bit of a millionaire makeover contest. So if you think you are financially in dire straits and would like to receive financial coaching and are willing to go live on our broadcast, air your dirty financial laundry in the effort to change your wary financial ways and get on the path to true financial wellness, we would love to have you sign up to participate. We are taking applications through Christmas Eve midnight Pacific Standard Time. All you have to do is send us a video. Our details are on the show page. If you're listening live from Blog Talk Radio, click on the logo for the banner that says the Millionaire Makeover Contest. Or all you have to do is surf over to our website, www.unlockyourwealth.com, and click on the link, and it'll give you all the details, contest rules, and everything. And hopefully you'll be one of 12 lucky winners that get to be on our website. In addition to financial coaching, which is a $900 value that you would receive, and you will also receive all of the products that we have. You'll win a premium membership for 6 months to the website. You will also be able to test out products that we have coming to market but aren't available yet, all geared to help you achieve immediate financial wellness and get on the path to your future financial independence. I'm so excited about that. Coming up next, we have our Investor's Edge guest. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to chatting with Mr. Brian Evans. We have so much more in store. Stay tuned. I'm Heather Wagenhals, your money mentor, and you're listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Stay tuned for more right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Are listening to Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Your hostess with the financial mostest. And I am so thrilled for our next segment. Our Investor's Edge guest just kicks butt. Well, I don't know if he kicks butt, but I have read his book, and I know that his book kicks butt. And the reason why I say that is because some of the stuff that he espouses in his book are some of the same things that I talk about and teach in my workshops and right here on the radio show. So I think that we are great minds, think alike kind of people, but I won't know until we bring him on the line. So I'm excited for you because he's going to be one of our better, remember, real estate guests, or let's hope so, I guess. I don't know yet, but let's talk to him, shall we, and see what he says. Brian Evans was a flat, broke country boy from Kentucky, turned Wall Street dropout, turned failed retail coffee shop owner, turned real estate investor, and it's kind of funny because I at least wasn't a failed coffee shop owner because I had an espresso bar, and it's still open today, and I started it 15 years ago. So that was pretty exciting that the people that I sold it to have still been able to maintain it. I was quite a feather in my cup. I was so excited about that. And I didn't drop out of Wall Street. I just switched to real estate. But I'm so excited because it's so funny because his story is similar to mine, except Kentucky versus Arizona. Anyway, he turned into a millionaire real estate investor. He's a real estate expert, author, speaker, leader, and coach. He did all this by the tender age of 28. He personally invests in all type of real estate, from single-family homes to multifamily and commercial properties, using creative techniques such as short sales, seller financing, subject to lease option, wholesaling, retailing round robin, self-directed Roth IRAs, private mortgage loans, etc. So I am so excited to introduce him now. Let's bring him on the air. Welcome to the broadcast, Brian. It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Heather. Very happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you as a guest this week. One, because it's our key, our Remember Real Estate key, and you, in your book, How to Make Money in Your Local Real Estate Market, touch on different aspects of real estate investment. I take them down the slow path to go from renter to homeowner to real estate investor. But here, you on your cover say, start investing without money, credit, or experience. And I thought, okay, so let me flip through this because, you know, we try to quality control the guests that we have here. And I was so impressed with two things about your book. One, the way the book is laid out strategically, and the fact that you use mind mapping and all sorts of NLP learning techniques, whether or not you knew you were doing that, you did that. And that was another thing that made this book so easy to digest for me. And then, of course, your information is very timely. And you don't hedge and give a bunch of gobbledygook. You actually just get right to the point, and you give solid information and a strategic plan.
Thank you very much.
How did you come up with this?
The book?
Yes. What was your start in real estate?
I've been investing in real estate. It's about $30,000 in repairs, conservatively. I asked for no payments for the first 6 months. We each paid our own individual closing costs, so that's the only money I really had in this thing. What I did is I turned around and lease optioned that property out immediately. And I found somebody to do a lease option on the property, $1,000 a month, $5,000 down is what they put. Now here I am making this payment on this house. If you do the math on a $100,000 investment, it's about $412.50 a month payment is what I'm making on this house every month. But also remember, I didn't have to make payments for the first 6 months. And I asked for it, and I got it. So I got this person into this property. So for the first 6 months, I'm collecting a $1,000 a month check, plus $5,000 down up front. Plus I put them
five up front,
non-refundable. Plus they're doing their own repairs on the property. I advertised the handyman special, so I'm giving some equity to them on the back end if they ever purchase based on the repairs they did to this home. And it's headache free for me. If the toilet breaks, they fix it. It's not my problem because it's a lease to own. It's not a straight rental. One other thing I should say is when we were negotiating, this seller and I, she asked for something, so I asked for something back. I'm a big believer when you're negotiating, if you give, you should get. If you get, you should give, and so forth. She asked for something, and I said, okay, I'll tell you what, and you give me a week's stay at your beach house, because we were talking about different investments and stuff. I said, give me a week's stay at your beach house, and I'll give you this. So she did. So that was something else that we wrote in the contract, is a one-week stay at her beach house down in South Carolina area. But it's so amazing. And if I didn't ask for it, I wouldn't have got it. And it wasn't even a great beach house. My wife and I, we didn't even stay there. We went there and said, you know, this isn't for us, so we left. But it's the story. It's the fun. It's the creativity. It's the leverage you can have, not just financially, but with everything. So now I've got this property, which I still own. Every payment that I make each month is being paid by my tenant, who's still in there paying $1,000 a month. Every payment that I'm making my seller is going 100% off the principal. I mean, that's powerful stuff. That is some serious serious leverage. So if I ever wanted to sell this thing to this lease option buyer, and I have a clause in our agreement that says if you ever want to buy this thing, you give me the opportunity to finance you myself before you go and get a loan. So if they can get a loan at 7% interest, well, heck, I could beat that at 6% interest, and I'm still making 100% principal payments and collecting 6% interest on that payment. Does that make sense, Heather?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally
so
makes sense.
That's what I do. That is the power of this business, and I'm doing these deals all the time. And those are the cash flow wealth building deals. So I never want to sell that property if I ever can. But if I do, I win. If I don't, I win. So when you set yourself up to where you can't fail, to where every type of deal you're doing is creative and smart and no money down, no credit, no risk, you can't lose. But the key is to get that knowledge to know what you're doing. And, of course, it's not going to happen overnight. You have to educate yourself and work at it and take action. But if you know the power and the potential is there, why not go for it? Why not try to find out where that power and potential and education and knowledge is? Because it's amazing.
It is, and you bring up an extremely valuable point about negotiation. And what I find, especially when people are afraid to jump in and swim because they think the water is going to be a bit cold and they kind of stick their toes in at the edge, they don't ask for things because they don't think they'll get it. And I always say to ask and let the other person say no. Don't say no for them because you don't know what they're willing to do.
Exactly.
And you just illustrate that point beautifully with your story. And that was
yeah.
your first property. That's amazing. You know, but you never know until you ask. And that, I think, is the beauty of naivety, because you didn't know not to ask for that stuff, so you just asked for it.
Exactly. People try to think for other people. And you can't do that. Why do people jump off bridges? Why do people do that? You know, you see it on the news, but people do stupid things. So you can't try to think for other people. You have to think for yourself. And here's a saying that I was taught is, what comes out of your mouth goes into your bank account. So if you don't flap your lips, your bank account's not going to get much bigger. So you need to flap your lips like crazy and get really good at that. And that's a very important thing.
That's unreal. I love that saying. I love that saying because, you know, this is, it's not easy because it requires effort, but it is simple to do this. And, again, your book illustrates this beautifully. Do you do other things like seminars or workshops that support the material here in the book?
I absolutely do. I do. My style of coaching and mentoring is very different. Most people who find me do exactly that. They find me. And that's the way I like to do it. I'm a very private coach, mentor. We have a very niched program with different coaching levels. But, yes, I absolutely do. I'm also a big believer.
You're not private anymore.
Not anymore.
I have over 500,000 subscribers.
I mean, I'm a big believer also in multiple streams of income. So, you know, well, Brian, if you're doing so well, why are you doing this other thing and charging for coaching and so forth? Because it's a knowledge I have. And if you want it, you got to pay for it, because that's what I did. And that's the way this world works. And if I never invested serious money, I'm talking six-figure money into my education and knowledge over a period of years, then I wouldn't be where I'm at. But I know that every investment I made worked for me because I implemented the information that I purchased. And that's the thing I just want to – and if I get off tangent, you can stop me, okay, Heather?
No, this is great. Keep going.
But people – when they go to seminars, when they go to events, when they buy products or services or whatever, they buy this stuff and they write a big check for $1,000 or whatever the dollar amount is, and then they go home and do nothing with it. And then they go back and complain that the person they bought it from is a fraud and a scammer. And you know, and some of the stuff out there is. And most of the teachers out there who teach stuff do not do it. So you got to be very careful. You have to do your own due diligence. But what you're buying as an investment is you're buying information. You're buying someone else's brain, someone else's knowledge. So it's up to you. It's up to the consumer to actually take something away from that and implement the information. And one of the most important words ever drilled home to me was action. You just have to take action. And if you do things right to where you're investing in something where you're not writing big checks, where you're not going to the bank and getting a loan, where you're not making promises to sellers that you can't keep, then you have nothing to lose. So take action and do things smart and don't write big checks, don't guarantee debt and so forth, and you can't lose. You may have setbacks, but you will not fail. The only thing you could do is you could give up, but if you don't take action, you'll never know.
Yeah, and I firmly am a believer in you only fail when you quit.
Exactly.
If you just keep chipping away at it, you'll find a way. When there's a will, there's a way. If there's no will, there's no way.
It's that easy.
To avoid failure just by continually taking action and varying your approach until you accomplish what it is you're after.
Right. Absolutely.
One of the things that you mentioned that I think is so valuable, and I kind of started like mentally kind of thinking about some other things and some other investments that I've evaluated over the years and why I went forth on some of them and not on others, is if you take, and I think education is just like an investment, and if you invest a dollar in education and apply that same dollar in action, it'll return you like ninefold.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's just, but you got to take the action. That's the key part. It's not just about the education, but it's the action. And what's the author? Is it Masterson? Wrote Ready, Fire, Aim.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get so hung up in the educational process, and they learn and learn and learn, and then they never go out and do.
Sure.
And get your feet wet. And if it didn't work, it doesn't mean that the system failed. You may not have applied the system fully. Some
right.
of the best advice that I ever received was from an internet marketer named Tillman Knutson.
Okay.
And when I was setting up my membership website to complement what we teach here on the radio and to go in-depth with the principles so people can create financial wellness today and build financial freedom for their future, And he said something that really stuck with me, and I'll always remember it because it helped me to define or further define my marketing and my market niche. And he was, I'm trying to think exactly how he said it now because it was part of this seminar that I took, and he says that, you know, you've got to get your feet wet. And when he says, when he coaches and he has people invest in his internet marketing system, he says that what you need to do is to follow the prescription exactly, because if you don't succeed and you varied the system, that's probably why you didn't succeed. If you execute the system as laid out, in order, each step fully and completely, it will work.
Absolutely.
And I had a bunch of different people over the summer when we were building out the website working on things, and they said, well, I didn't like that idea. And I'm like, well, and look at the results that you have.
Right.
So if people take that concept, and when you invest in a system, they're the expert. You're not.
Right.
So there might be some shred of validity in their system. And you won't know that until you apply it fully.
Right.
And along that concept, one of the things that I thought was so great about your book is you go through step by step. You have scanned in examples of letters that you've written. And what was so funny is I thought, oh, my God, that's one of the secrets that I teach in your marketing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that envelope technique. And I'm like, son of a gun, he's using invitation-sized envelopes, too.
See, great minds think alike.
It works. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Your book is amazing. And, I mean, your scripts are dead on with some of the different scripts that you have on seller financing, short sale scripts, how to meet with potential customers, how to position rent to own to potential buyers. And I like how you summarize it in the back. You have, at the back of your book, you really, I'm a good commercial for you, aren't I?
You're pretty good. I might have to get a copy of this.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, I've flagged so many things in the book because I was like, oh, my gosh, this is super great. Every time I saw something, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I say this. Oh, my gosh.
Your listeners are going to think I wrote you a big fat check for all this.
I know. anytime you want to send that over, you're welcome to. But up until this point, I haven't received a nickel. But that's the value of this show here is because, you know, I've had people on and then I just shred them because I think, well, what the heck do you know? And I just
right.
tear them apart. They come in, and clearly they're not listeners of the show. They'd be once bitten, twice shy, going, "Hey, she's gonna rip me if I say something that's not right."
Sure.
Yeah, I've gotten a few people on here. But in your key points, your summary, you mentioned quite a few things, and unfortunately, we're at the end of our time right now. So, if there's just one thing that you can think of that you'd like to share with our listeners about real estate investment, what would that one thing be? What would you want them to know about you or about real estate investing?
What one thing? Well, I'll tell you two. Can I give you two things?
Okay.
All right. I'll keep it short and sweet. The two things that your listeners need to know about me is, number one, I am really, really, really good at making a lot of money in real estate. Second thing they need to know about me is I'm really, really, really good at helping other people make a lot of money in real estate, in this business. But you got to take action. So if I had to give one thing, you do have to take action. It's up to you. Do I have a book? Yes. Should you buy it? Yes. Will most of you buy it? Probably not. It's a $20 book. Does $20 matter to you? Maybe, maybe not. And what you take from that and do with it is going to be up to you. I mean, whether you buy a book or don't buy a book, it's not going to make or break me or Heather or anyone else, but it could make or break you. And I will say that the one thing that really changed my mind about this, about life, and opened my eyes up to this business was a book. And if you open my book and read my book, you will see, and I tell you, the actual book that was, that opened my eyes up to this business and the potential of real estate and being an entrepreneur and so forth. And life is fun, and you should enjoy it, and you'll enjoy it a lot more when you have more money in the bank. And that's what this is all about, and just constantly doing your best, always do your best, and everything will work out.
A.L. Williams said, all you can do is all you can do, and all you can do is enough. Well, thank you so much for showing up and being a part of our show today, Brian, our Remember Real Estate Key. If people would like to have coaching, get a hold of your book, go to a workshop or seminar, how would people do that?
I'll give you two ways to do it. Number one, you can go to Brian Evans Books. .com. That's Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Evans, E-V-A-N-S, books.com, or you can go to Amazon and type me in. But there's also a musician named Brian, and that is not me, Brian Evans.
No singing and dancing?
Only in the shower. And the other way is you can pick up the phone and call, 859-309-1714, 859-309-1714, and it's as simple as that. So
Well, again, thank you so much for being a part of our broadcast today. And for those of you driving around without a pencil handy, you can always get our previous show guest links at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I am she, Heather Wagenhals, your purveyor of prosperity, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is John Nowicki with LCM Capital Management, where we are changing the way the world invests. What we do is create financial plans tailored to each individual's risk parameters and retirement goals while eliminating all the additional costs and hidden fees that are associated with money management. You can contact me, John Nowicki, at LCM Capital Management at 312-705-3013. And look forward to a happy, healthy retirement with low costs and low fees.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to the Wagon Hall. Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Yeah, we just finished our conversation with Brian Evans. What's that? That's pretty cool. So, anybody up for some minutes on your money? Honey? I think it's time for some minutes on your money. Now, according to Jennifer Yates, writing for the Associated Press, she says, and this doesn't count the Lord's 401k match. The cost of the 12 days of Christmas items spike this year, nearing $100,000. In the unlikely event that your Christmas list this year includes every item mentioned in the 12 days of Christmas, be prepared to pay nearly $100,000. Trying to buy the 364 items repeated in all the songs verses from 12 drummers drumming to a partridge in a pear tree would cost $96,824, an increase of 10.8, almost 11% over last year, according to the annual Christmas price index compiled by PNC Wealth Management. This is kind of like a little fun inflation match, if you will. So you might want to try for one of those of everything. That would only cost you $23,500, or just 9.2% more than last year if you forgo the exact number. It's kind of funny. The 27th Annual Holiday Index has historically mirrored the National Consumer Price Index, but not this year. The Christmas price index grew 9.2% from last year, compared with just a 1.1% increase in the much broader consumer price index. Jim Dunnigan, managing executive of investment for PNC Wealth Management, said that's because the whimsical holiday price index looks at a much smaller group of goods and services. Even within the index itself, there are some goods that have seen small increases and others that have seen a larger one. Also, gold prices are high, which pushed up the cost of the five gold rings by 30%. That's like $650. So, as was the cost of hiring entertainers, labor has gone up, as well as the birds. There's no doubt, Dunnigan says, that our feathered friends in general make up a good portion of the increase. The price of feed and availability led to a 78.5% increase in the price of two turtle doves to $100 and a whopping 233% increase in the cost of three French hens to $150. Dunnigan said that higher prices aren't necessarily a bad thing. The good news is that the economy is improving, and we are starting to see some pockets of price increases as long as the total basket is controlled, Dunnigan replies. Only four of the 12 gifts in the song didn't go up in price from last year. The pear tree, $149, not including the partridge, of course. Four calling birds, 600 bones, and 6 geese, 150. The 8 maids of milking also stayed static at $58. The most expensive item on the list was $6,000, almost $300, to hire 9 ladies dancing, a 15% increase from last year. The cheapest was $12 for 1 partridge and a 20% increase. So how this relates to how the consumer price index is kind of interesting because it goes over different sectors. So much like it went over different items in the story, I kind of like this because it gives you a way to understand how the price index works. So they take all of those things, add them up, and then divide by the number of items on the list, and that is what gives you your average on the index. So that's how they come up with that stuff. So pet stores and other sources were used to compile the list, and then some of its sources this year include the National Aviary in Pittsburgh and the Philadelphia-based Pennsylvania Ballet Company. The annual index is also used in middle and high schools across the country to teach economic trends. What's kind of cool is this: the PNC website includes an MP3 download, games, and more about how they work their index. So it's super cool, and it's an interesting way to tie in the holiday and make financial information a little bit more palatable. Wouldn't you agree? Why, yes, I think so. This next article, all I can say is it's about a doggone time. The AP says President Barack Obama announced a 2-year pay freeze for federal employees on Monday and warned the American public that the move is the first of several difficult decisions that must be made to reduce the nation's mounting deficits. I'm sorry, but maybe President Obama might want to listen to this show and listen to our take emotion out of the picture key. It wouldn't be difficult if they didn't allow it to get as big as it is. Thank you. Just an idea here. The hard truth, according to Obama, says that it's getting this deficit under control is going to require some broad sacrifice, and that sacrifice must be shared by the employees of the federal government. Yeah, you think? Because the American people are getting fed up. I think they've sent you a message this election cycle. I don't know. I don't think so. The freeze would apply to all civilian federal employees, including those working at the Department of Defense, but would not affect military personnel. Thank God. The freeze is expected to save more than $5 billion in savings over the next 2 years and $28 billion over 5 years and more than $60 billion over the next 10 years, White House officials say. How about just cutting the jobs out? Forget about freezing them. Finding out what they do. And if there's like 10 other people doing the same thing, you know, too many chiefs, too little Indians. It's like what's crippling our school systems. Hello? Too many chiefs, too little Indians. Just cut them out. Congress is not covered by Obama's order. How convenient. Well, lawmakers voted last year in April to freeze their pay, with the House and Senate opting to forgo an automatic $1,600 annual cost of living increase. Thanks. Really? You shouldn't have. House members and senators are now paid $174,000 a year. Their last pay increase was $4,700 a year ago, beginning in 2009. The president's pay of $400,000 a year was fixed by Congress in January 2001, and it's not changed since then. While Obama says the federal employee salary freeze was necessary to put the nation on sound fiscal footing, he also said that he didn't reach the decision lightly. This is not just a line item on federal ledger. These are people's lives. Yes, perhaps They shouldn't have had the job to begin with. But what do I know? I'm just another taxpayer. The savings from the pay freeze makes only a small dent in the nation's $1 trillion plus budget deficit. But with voters voicing their anger over Washington's spending during the midterm elections, even a symbolic gesture will show the White House has received the message sent. So, anyway, I am not going to hold my breath on any more radical changes. And they used to say that Bush had the worst approval rating. Ha ha! Have you looked at Mr. Obama's lately? Anyhow, not that I have an axe to grind, but clearly the American people aren't wanting what he wants to do in office. So we need to pay attention to this. If anybody is shopping for flat screens, here's an article you want to know about. Danny King on dailyfinance.com writes that LCD panel prices rise because of holiday demand. If you haven't gotten yours yet, buyer beware. Pricing for television and computer screen panels rose in November for the first time in 8 months as retailers geared up for what they hope will be improved sales of consumer electronics products for the 2010 holiday season. Liquid crystal display panels that are 10 diagonal inches or longer from corner to corner cost about 1% more in November than they did in October, research firm iSupply said in a report released on Monday. Month over month, LCD panel prices have fallen as much as 5% in both July and August as retailers work down inventories amid sluggish North America TV sales. But with buyers preparing for this holiday season, the introduction of new models in early 2011, and for the Lunar New Year in February, brands and manufacturers alike are starting to buy panels again after maintaining strict inventory control for several months. Sweta Dash, Senior Director for LCD Research at iSupply, says in her statement, "This combined with lower level of panel inventories is causing prices to rise after several months of decline. While Asian market gains have been offset by lackluster U.S. sales of television and personal computers, the U.S. economy is showing signs of increased consumer spending. The U.S. Department of Commerce last week revised its third quarter gross domestic product growth figure up to 2.5% from its earlier estimate of just 2%. Meanwhile, U.S. spending during the long weekend following Turkey Day rose about 9% from a year earlier, to $45 billion as more shoppers flocked to the malls and spent more on average, the National Retail Federation shared on Sunday. Those people must not have been listeners to last week's show. What do you think? A total of 212 million shoppers visited stores and websites over the weekend compared to 195 million last year, while the average shopper increased spending by 6.5% to $365, according to the National Retail Federation. Again, because our listeners would have decreased their spending. So that's your holiday minutes on your money wrap-up. We have so much more in store coming up for you. We've got our millionaire minute. Keep your shorts on because we're getting ready to batten down for a wild ride. Also, we have Remember Real Estate and the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series all coming up in the next hour. You are listening to Heather Wagon Hall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Stay tuned for more right after this.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagon Hall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to the Wagon Wheels Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your pin-dropping purveyor of prosperity. Yes, and now that I have retrieved my mechanical pencil, shall we what was I going to say? I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, my God, I'm such a crackhead. Yeah, so let's get into our next segment, shall we?
Tell me.
Yes, it's that time again where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools and information you can incorporate into your life right now to start your day the millionaire way. And today's topic is about belief. Belief is what all millionaires have. Belief in their own power, in their ability to accomplish certain things. And psychologists study belief formation and the relationship between beliefs and actions. And millionaires believe that they are capable. Belief forms in a variety of ways. And we tend to internalize the beliefs of people around us when we're small during childhood. And then, as we get older, our peers influence our beliefs. And unless we have something that radically challenges that, those kind of are set in place. Now, as adults, people may adopt the beliefs of a charismatic leader, even if those beliefs fly in the face of all previous beliefs, and produce actions that are not clearly in their own self-interest, such as, for example, Hitler's following. He enjoined folks to his cause. It clearly wasn't right, but yet he was able to convince millions of people that his beliefs should be their beliefs too. One of the primary thrusts of the advertising industry is that repetition creates beliefs, as do associations with sex, love, and other strong positive emotions. Additionally, physical trauma can also radically alter a person's belief, especially if that physical trauma is to the head. We call those single event learning experiences. So how do millionaires use belief to fuel their passions and to fuel their passions and accomplish what it is that they truly desire in life? Tune in on Tuesday's show for our Unlock Your Wealth Radio to go, our morning cup of millionaire motivation, and we will give you the specific strategy that millionaires use when they incorporate belief as a personal power tool. Thank you so much for your participation in today's segment. You can download previous Millionaire Nuts and Bolts and previous Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go simply by visiting our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com. For your 15 minutes of millionaire motivation, just visit the website, and you too can start your day the millionaire way. Hang tight. We've got our Keys to Riches coming up right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years, is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to the Keys to Riches on the Heather Wagenhall of the Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'm always excited about the show. This seventh season's really been spectacular. Not that the others haven't, but each season brings new challenges, new opportunities, new guests, and it just vitalizes and empowers the show. So we just get better with age. We're like a fine wine, except we don't cost anything near the price of a bottle of fine wine. Yay! Totally love that part about it. So anyway, it is our Remember Real Estate Key. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. And the Keys to Riches is simply a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that each week, one key at a time, one week at a time. And I'm so excited because this week is where it all kind of comes together. You kind of been working, for those of you that have been with us since the beginning of the season or prior to that, you've been working so hard. You've been creating all of this momentum. And here we are, almost to the end of the road, but the beginning of our real estate adventure. So I'm so excited about that part because here we go. We only got three more keys after this. So to briefly review our keys for this season, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we started out with acceptance and affirmation. We accepted that maybe we don't know anything about money, or what we believed about money is wrong, and we've made some mistakes along the way. and we want to get on the path. And then we affirmed our worthiness, because sometimes we get so beat down by ourselves with our own negative self-talk and by others who tell us we're not capable. And then, like those advertisers know, repeated exposure to all of that garbage inures you to that way of thinking. And all of a sudden, I can't do this. So we learn how to feel worthy of the goals we have set upon us. Then we took action and started assessing our financial life in an organic fashion. We then created our goals using a dreams with deadlines technique. We learned to assess what we knew and didn't know about money and what we should know, and knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful. And after we took our knowledge assessment, we decided what we will learn and what we will delegate. Then we learned how to take emotion out of the picture and keep our passions in perspective when it comes to our money. We want to be passionate and excited about making money, but we want to be conservative and well thought out when it comes to spending and investing our money. Then we learned to hope for the best and plan for the worst by creating an alternative scenario for some of the worst things that could happen to us. So as we play those scenarios out in our minds, we can then create resources objectively on how to handle those situations, as opposed to waiting for them to happen and be emotionally engaged in the event or the trauma and not be able to think clearly. And that way, when we have a plan B, we're not worried about the unknown, because we have made it known. And we know what our alternative plan is, so now that we're not thinking about that, we can totally focus on our plan A to bring it to fruition. Then one of my favorite keys, because it flies in the face of every piece of financial advice you'll ever get out there when it comes to personal money management, and we break the budget, because it's like dieting. It's something you go onto and off of, and instead we replace budgeting with a healthy savings and spending plan. So that allows us to have that little piece of financial chocolate cake now and then without destroying our waistline or our wallet, as the case may be. Then we learned no seasonal exceptions, because after we create a fabulous savings and spending plan, here come the holidays to screw us up. So we learn how to plan our seasonal spending in advance and how we can use the rules of etiquette and good manners to justify conservatively giving. And then last week we learned how to create our credit, because so many of us have no idea what goes into a credit profile and what credit scoring really means, and that it's not that big a deal after all. Credit quality is so much more important. And now we are here to remember real estate. Real estate is such an incredible investment opportunity. Number one, it's a tangible asset. It's a tangible asset. You can go out and touch it and feel it, and it doesn't matter if it's worth $1 million or $1. It's a physical asset that can continue to generate income for you, regardless. If you're invested in a stock and the company goes crappy, do you think you're going to get a dividend? Negative, Ghost Rider. But if the real estate market goes to hell in a handbasket, you still have tenants. You still have renters. You still have a roof over your head. It doesn't matter with real estate, because you still have an income-generating asset regardless of what the market dictates. Do you understand me? You have a cash flow machine when you hold real estate as an investment versus any other type of investment. That's why I love real estate so much. And specifically, I like the housing part of real estate, because everybody needs to have a place to live. Everybody does. Not everybody needs a shopping center. Not everybody needs a strip mall. Not everybody needs office space. But everybody needs a roof over their head. And that's what makes real estate so fabulous. Think about what Brian said in the first hour. Some of the information he shared with us about real estate and specifically real estate investment. You can take real estate, and if you buy it right, because money is always made on the buy, not the sell. Remember that. In any transaction, but specifically real estate, your money is made on the buy. What is the current market value, and what can I buy it for? And those numbers should be radically different. Your money is made on the buy, undervalue of the asset. So when it comes time to liquidate that asset, you know you're going to make money on it. But we want to use real estate to create income streams that we don't currently have. For those that attend my workshops and seminars, they learn in one weekend how they can become a millionaire in 5 years or less without quitting their job, without taking on 200 extra jobs. You can become a millionaire in 5 years or less using our strategy at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, employing the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series to get yourself on track, and then move to our Master's Series program where we start investing creatively. No risk investment. Low down, no money down investment. It's pretty exciting. And all you have to do is continue to live and be willing to accept that challenge of taking on investment real estate. So you're saying, yeah, Heather, that's like so great and all, but you know what? I have an apartment that I rent. How is real estate going to help me? Well, what you need to know is that you can become a real estate investor. But in order to understand investment, you need to become a homeowner first. So we're going to learn today how to go from renter to homeowner and then to real estate investor. When it comes to creating the ideal financial mortgage application to buy that first piece of property, underwriters look for four things. And these four things are what you need to know. And nobody will tell you for some stupid reason. I have no idea why everybody wants to keep it a secret. It makes no sense. None whatsoever to me. But, you know, what do I know? I was just a mortgage lender trying to make a buck. And I thought, well, if I could tell my clients where they need to be and I could help them get there, that would mean I would write more loans. And so for my mortgage company that I worked for, that would mean more money for them, right? So why wouldn't they tell all their customers? Why was I the only one telling my customers, teaching it at my home buyers clubs on the weekends, doing my stuff? Why wouldn't people share this information? It's just, it's ludicrous to me. But I'm going to share it with you on the radio. Take copious notes. We will also have a strategy on the website for you so you can figure out where your targets are, where you need to be. So we have what we call the four layers of risk. And you have created your savings and spending plan. And you are, if you've been with the show for a while, you're currently in the process of whittling down all of that unsecured debt that you financed dinners and Ferragamos and all kinds of other garbage and instant gratification items. So we don't do that anymore. Because remember, we can collect interest or we can pay it. And if we're financing garbage, luxury items, dinners, we are not spending money for the cause. That's against the cause. For two reasons. One, it affects your ratios that we're going to talk about today. But two, you're spending your potential investment capital. Why not spend the return? on that investment capital. So you'll always have that money coming in instead of the investment capital itself, because once you spend it, it's gone. And you might have spent $20 on that steak dinner last week, but if you don't pay it off at the end of the month, it's going to cost you $22 the next month to pay it off. And then it's going to cost you $24. And then $28. And then $36 or $46. I can't do the math, because that interest is going to compound, and it's just going to double and double and double. Now, if I said, this is a $20 steak, but I want you to buy it for $46, would you do it? No! You'd be like, are you nuts? But that's what you do every time you put crap on a credit card. Our credit is a tool to build wealth, not money we're entitled to gratify ourselves because we have had a bad day or we're upset or angry at our significant other. Or we feel entitled to it just because of our mere existence on this planet. So what we want to do is understand these four layers of risk and then see where we are today, and then we're going to see where we need to be to qualify for our first property, the one we live in. So the four layers of risk are what we also call the four C's. And the four C's are simply character, capacity, capital, and collateral. And they're called layers of risk for a reason, because you could be deficient in one layer, but another layer will totally back you up and then some, because you can overcompensate in that other category. And after we explain these four layers of risk, I'll show you how that works. And I'll illustrate to you what happened, or I should say, what caused the mortgage markets to go bad and where they deviated from the program and got burned. Now, I'm going to address this first layer of risk. It's the last one I mentioned because it's the only one that doesn't change, and it's called collateral. And collateral is simply the asset itself that you are buying. The collateral is what you are leveraging. If you don't pay, they come and take it. That has to have a value, and that value has to be at or below the number of dollars you are borrowing to acquire it. This is where people got into trouble. So a property is worth whatever it appraises for. And appraised value is not necessarily market value. It is definitely not willing buyer, willing seller negotiating freely in an open market either. Appraised value is purchase price or appraised value, whichever is lower. And just because you spent $80,000 on this fabulous swimming pool with waterfall and all, doesn't mean it's going to add $80,000 of value to your home. You get about $15,000-$20,000. Added to the value for having a pool. Doesn't matter how fancy it is. Does not matter. It doesn't matter if you have water lilies that spring up and spit water. Doesn't matter. So this is what it is, and a lender is only going to go based on a percentage of purchase price or appraised value that ever is lower. So that is a static thing. You cannot change that layer of risk. It is what it is. There's no fiddle farting around with it. So that's why I like to get that one out of the way. It's the last one, but it's the only inflexible one. Now we have three layers of risk left. These are the ones that we can use to layer and complement each other based on where you are financially. The first is character. And this we talked all about last week on Create Credit. Character is your credit report. Character is a demonstration of how we have paid our bills in the past. I like the statement that they used to give for mutual funds that past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results, but it's a good indicator. Unless the management of your investment portfolio changes, you're going to get consistent returns each and every year. on your mutual fund. But, of course, they can't guarantee that because they can't guarantee market forces. But as long as they don't deviate from the plan, it's going to be fairly consistent. Well, that's the same about you, your character. What are you made of? Do you pay your bills on time? Are you completely conscientious about that? Do you pay your bills early and pay them off every month? All of that plays into your character. Are you a slacker? Do you forget to pay bills here and there? Have you had a catastrophic event? But were previously conscientious and have been conscientious since that catastrophic event. I'm not going to belabor this one because we had a whole show on it last week on Create Credit. But simply, your credit is a reflection of who you are as a person, if you're conscientious or not, if you've recovered from a catastrophic event or not. And in the four layers of risk, the last 2 years are what they look at the most. The next layer of risk is capacity. Capacity has to do with our income. It's how much we make, and it can be income from assets. It could be income from retirement portfolios, income from pensions, income from us actively working with our blood, sweat, and tears. It could be alimony, child support, separate maintenance coming in, although you do not have to disclose that, but it may be in your best interest to disclose that. Could it be permanent disability, Social Security, all sorts of stuff? Any dollars that you can document coming in the door is your ability to repay this note. And they take that number and they use it with a ratio to determine how much mortgage you can comfortably pay for. Mortgage. Not property, but mortgage. And now, capital is the last in the three layers of risk, of the four, but the third of the flexible ones. And capital is two things. Capital is how much money you put down and how much money you have left over in reserves. They want to know how much skin you have in the game. So those are the four layers of risk. Character, capacity, capital, and collateral. Now, there are a few different types of mortgages out there. I am a big proponent of government-insured mortgages because they bet on you, the individual, and they're great for starting out or starting over because they require less money down than conventional financing. Also, their ratios are more lenient because usually those government mortgages are used by first-time home buyers who typically have less income because they're mostly entry-level working-class people. But it doesn't matter where you are. They have certain maximums. But use them over and over and over because you don't have to put as much money down. Less skin in the game. Somebody else is going to service your debt. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But that's not a big proponent of government-backed mortgages. Now, I mentioned ratios. If you were doing a conforming conventional loan, there are two numbers in this ratio. They are referred to because in the mortgage industry, you can't just have one way to say something. You've got to have 200. So it could be your front end and back end ratio. It could be your top and bottom ratio. Or, like I more accurately like to describe it, as your housing and total debt ratios. Your housing ratio is the potential mortgage payment plus principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, so that's the basis. Most mortgages and government-insured mortgages always make you escrow those last two. So principal, interest, taxes, and insurance plus homeowners association dues because they're required as a condition of moving in that community, and so you have to pay it. So it must be included in your ratio. So many real estate agents don't even consider that, and they start shopping people without qualifying for their mortgage first. And some of these communities, especially like here in Arizona, we're like the HOA capital of the world, I swear. And what seems to be affordable, like years ago, my first home was a townhome. And I went for a townhome because I got a bigger piece of property, but because it was in an HOA, I also had that little fee. But it was a little fee when it started, but thanks to embezzling and crappy board members, it almost, what was it? It decuppled. It added a zero. It was 10 times the amount by the time I went to sell. And that materially affected people's ability to qualify for it. All of a sudden, it was an entry-level housing. Even though when I bought it, it was entry-level housing with an FHA loan. But it quickly became middle class because of this $220 HOA fee that I had. So that will be your killer. If that is crushing your lifestyle, as we go through these ratios here in a bit, if that's crushing your lifestyle, then you need to find a community that doesn't have one, because it will reduce the amount of money that you can finance based on these ratios. It changes your affordability. And I never, ever advocate maxing ratios, especially on the home you're going to live in, because these ratios don't take into account everything that they need to take into. I love VA qualifying because it's based off of a residual income number. After all expenses have been paid, they take into account utilities and stuff and estimate per square foot what those numbers are, plus they take into account number of people in your family. And it's just a better way to qualify based on these tables and stuff, and it's not anything that you can figure out over the radio. But just let me say, it's a more accurate way to truly assess somebody's affordability. But this front-end ratio, or housing ratio, is not just the mortgage payment, but it's also homeowners association fees. Then the second number, or the back end, or bottom ratio, is what we call your total debt ratio. So it is the housing plus everything that shows up on your credit, plus outgoing alimony, child support, separate maintenance agreements, plus any other settlements or judgments that you're paying off, like an annuity, if you have payments going out, shing, shwing, required by law. And all this stuff shows up on your credit, by the way. So it's not like you can hide something, because public records are part of your credit report. So this is why last week we talked about frivolous debt. You cannot have any frivolous debt, because they only give you a 10% window for frivolous debt. For conventional loans, for government, you get 12. You get 2 more percent. Why? Because it's usually lower incomes. That's why those ratios are a little looser. So that frivolous debt, I'm referring to car payments, credit cards, student loans, all that garbage. Because what happens in a normal underwriting scenario is you don't get to bump that back ratio up. If you've maxed out your housing ratio, your affordability on the housing side goes down. So I'm going to give you some simple numbers here. And you can do the math and follow along with these simple numbers. So if I said, and these aren't the numbers, I'll give you the numbers, but these aren't the numbers, but so you can follow the math. If I said your housing ratio was 10%, and your total debt was 20%. If you subtract that 10% from the 20, that means you could have 10% of unsecured debt. These are credit cards, car payments, student loans, again, alimony, child support, separate maintenance, all that crap coming off. So if your front end or housing ratio is 10 and your total debt is 20, but you have 15% unsecured debt it's on your credit report for credit cards, car payments, all of that garbage. What does that front number become? Does the back number go to 25? No, because 20 is the max. So that 10 now goes down to 5 because your garbage encroached your housing. So if you could have 10% of your income as your mortgage payment versus 5%, that's twice the house. Is it starting to come clear now why you can't have all that crappy credit card debt? Why you cannot finance cars you cannot afford to pay cash for? Does this all start making sense? It should become abundantly clear now. Because the value of investing in real estate, like I spoke of earlier when Brian was with us, you put a dollar in the stock market, you earn interest at a dollar invested. You put a dollar in real estate, you earn interest as if it were 10, using the power of leverage. It gives you double-digit returns when you look at how much you put in versus how much you made. Double-digit returns. Who's getting double-digit returns and not being invested in real estate? Unless you're a business owner and you work yourself to the bone, you're probably not getting double-digit. So this is why it's so important to get rid of that garbage, because they take your income, your capacity, and then they evaluate everything that they find in your credit report, and they add up all those minimum payments, and they calculate through these percentages what your ratios need to be, and that's how they determine your affordability. Now, here's where the layers of risk start to come in. So let's say you have perfect credit, but you're like, you've paid your bills on time. That's not your issue, but you might have high debt. So you can't afford as big a mortgage, and paying off your debt isn't realistic. But let's say you have cash. Your capital is large. So you can put more money in. Because if you're maxed on your ratios and you're trying to buy a property, the lender's going to say, okay, well, the guy can't pay his bills now, and I'm going to cripple him with a 28 to 29% mortgage payment of his monthly income. And this is all based on gross numbers. That's the problem of this, is because it's based on gross numbers. They don't take into effect how much you have to pay in taxes. They don't take care of child care, utilities, all that garbage. A good mortgage lender will factor all of that in and ask you about that and how you manage your money and work accordingly. So you can put more money down to lower that amount that you need to finance. So if you're trying to, and I'm going to give you easy numbers, if you're trying to borrow $10,000, okay, if you're trying to borrow $10,000 and you wanted to put, you wanted to buy a $10,000 house and you wanted to put $1,000 down and finance $9,000, but according to your ratios, you could only qualify for $8,000, guess what? You could put another $1,000 down and borrow the $8,000 because that'll reduce your mortgage payment. So that's one way to do it. That's how these layers of risk complement each other. Now, let's say you have crappy credit. You have some issues. Maybe you missed some payments. You slacked. It wasn't a catastrophic event that you recovered from, but you're just kind of lackadaisical, and your credit isn't quite where it needs to be over the last 24 months. That capital comes into play again. The capital is super great. So with capital, you can put more money down. The more skin you have in the game, the lender says, okay, they've got 30% into this property. They're not likely to walk away. They're buying a $10,000 property. They put in $3,000. They want me to put in $7,000. I think that's a valuable risk. I see that they don't pay their bills, but they got skin in the game, so they might step up to the plate and do this. But here's where the risk assessment comes. Because it's a little riskier for them, they'll just give you a higher interest rate. You won't get the greatest market rate available. Again, another reason why you should have your credit crap together. Your credit poop in a group, if you will. Ducks in a row, however you want to say it, but you got to have that credit in line. Because I always say credit is cool, but cash is king. I've had people that have to put 50% down because they had, like, sludge for credit. They had nasty divorces. They didn't even think of fixing their credit. They just kind of plodded along and paid cash. But they had cash to put down, so the lender said, well, they're going to put half down. They're not going to walk away from this, so the likelihood is pretty slim and none. So they went for it, and they took that risk, and they created that opportunity for that person. So that's how we layer the risks. So you can use a compensating factor in one category to offset a deficiency in another. Credit is cool, but cash is king. The more you make also makes a difference. When you buy beneath your ratios, that also makes a difference. For an FHA loan, which I love FHA loans, because they have lower underwriting guidelines, less requirements than your conventional financing does, you are looking at a housing ratio of 29% for your housing ratio, or front-end ratio, and 31% for your total debt. For conventional, you only get 28% and 36%. So you only get 8% debt and 28% on your front-end ratio. But conventional mortgages have higher requirements because they have bigger down payments, and usually you have higher income when you go with conventional financing. So it's not usually a first-time purchase, unless, of course, you've been saving for a long time and you've waited to buy because you wanted to put a big chunk down, and that's what a lot of people do when they go with conventional financing. And it's so funny, the different types of people. I could write a book just on types of people that come in for financing. It's so funny. So those are your ratios. So those are your targets of where you want to be. So let's calculate your targets, shall we? So I'm going to give you an example of how to do that. So again, let's go with the FHA financing, because it's the most gracious, it's the most liberal, it allows you to buy the most. So if 29% is our housing ratio, and again, I'm making the numbers easy because I have to do it in my head as I share it with you, plus run the switchboard and all that good stuff. So at 29% for our front-end housing ratio, if we make $1,000 a month, what is our max housing obligation? $290. See why I picked the number? $290 is our max housing ratio. This is homeowners association payment. This is principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Okay? And you must take your homeowners association, your taxes, and insurance off that number. Now, I can provide you with a strategy on our website at unlockyourwealth.com that will show you how to calculate and remove those items to get that base mortgage amount for principal and interest so you can calculate how much you can afford. So $290 is your max. So quick quiz. If your back end or total debt ratio is 41%, how much in dollars, if your income is $1,000 a month, can you have in monthly minimum payments? Hurry, hurry. Ding, 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 dong, ding, ding, ding. I don't know how to do the Jeopardy thing. Anyway, so we'll just give that up. How about 120 bucks? Because it's 12% debt separated from your housing ratio. So all I did was take 41 minus 29, and I came up with 12. So at 12% of your income, that's $120 worth of payments a month. So if you make 1,000 bucks a month, let's just say you make $2,000 a month. That's easy to do the math. $240. Are your car payments, credit cards, student loans, signature loans, furniture loans, recreational vehicle loans, and any other crap you have on your credit, plus alimony, child support, separate maintenance that goes out, less than $240 a month? Probably not. But just in case that it is, good on you. You get the brownie point for the week. So that's just kind of a great little way to do this. So if you made $3,000 a month, your back-end ratio could be 360. And these are assuming you're maxing out. These are your max deals. It's always better to fly under the radar. And I'll explain why in a moment. So it's simple to see it when you do it in terms of $1,000 in income. Now, this is gross income. So what they're not taking into account is what your tax obligations are, what your tax bracket is. Do you have babysitters that you have to pay so you can go to work? Do you have private school tuition? That's not in there. Do you have kids that play sports, intramural sports? That's not in there. So this is why we never want to max our ratios. And this is what happened to our housing after 9/11. Because of automated underwriting, conventional loans created these stated income loans, these no income verification loans, and led people at 3 and 4% interest on adjustable rate mortgages totally leverage their lifestyle. That on a good day with regular ratios would have never been allowed to drive through that neighborhood, let alone buy in that upscale neighborhood, and overpay on top of that because the real estate bubble was peaking at that same time. This is what was the downfall of the mortgage markets, because you bet on people that you knew had either crummy credit or maxed out their ratios, couldn't even prove their income, couldn't verify any of this stuff. Done. These are why cash reserves are so important. In the capital part, it's not just how much you put down, it's how much you have left over. If you put everything into the house and have nothing left over, they know you're going to buy curtains and couches and crap. Where's that going to go, on your credit? Yeah. No. So they require you, after your down payment, to have money left over. If it's FHA loans, you got to have 2 months of principal, interest, taxes, and insurance in reserves. Checking account, savings account, whatever. If it's conventional, they require 4 months of reserves. And if you go with any out-of-the-box kind of loan, they require 6 months, because they're trying to mitigate their risk. They want to know that you're going to service that debt. You have the ability to do that. If you lost your job tomorrow, could you still make your mortgage payment? Yes, if you have cash reserves. So this is how you calculate where it is that you are, or I'm sorry, where you need to be. These are your targets. What you need to do is take your current rent payment and use that as a guide. Is it too much, or is it completely affordable where you are? Because if it's too much, you need to scale that back. But just take your income, your current income, and calculate what your max ratio is. And then add up every single payment you have that shows up on your credit, and then again add in alimony, child support, separate maintenance agreements that you have to pay. If it's coming in, that's income, that's in a different pile. But if you have to pay it, then you need to be able to add all those up and then take that total debt number of all that debt that you've just added up and divide it by the money you have coming in. Is it more than 12%? Is it more than 8%? Is it less than 8%? Good on you if you're less than 8%. if it's more, how do I get my ratios in line? Because what's going to happen? You're going to lose your affordability, or you're going to have to pay higher interest rates, or you might not even qualify at all. You want to get your financing taken care of first before you get into any of that other stuff. So, are we under the ratios of where we need to be or not? If we're not, how do we get there? How do we work it back? How do we whittle down that debt? That's what we need to be focusing on. How do we get rid of those high payments that I bought crap with? What's the fastest way I can do that so I can qualify for a quality mortgage loan? And then calculate what your targets need to be based on what your monthly income is. You must get that debt under 8%. And the reason why I say is homeownership has its own set of rules. And you're going to have expenses that you don't have as a renter. You're going to have ongoing maintenance of your property. You're going to have preventative maintenance that you're going to need to be doing on your property. And when we go from homeowner to real estate investor, the ratios squeeze down tighter. And we don't get to count 100% of that incoming mortgage payment or incoming rent that we're charging our residents. You don't get to count 100% of that. And that's in our master's series. So the ratios just get tighter, so you cannot afford to have frivolous debt. You've got to get rid of the debt in order to manage your finances effectively. So, that's it in a nutshell. Those are your targets. That's where you need to be, 29 and 41. But get your debt, 28 and 36. Work for the conservative numbers, but use the more liberal underwriting of the FHA and VA loans, because that's what they're there for. So this week's nuts and bolts for our Remember Real Estate Key is in our key statement. I know that in order to be successful at home ownership and real estate investment, I must be beneath my ratios according to the four layers of risk. Our key affirmation for this week is, I am a great real estate investor. For those of you joining us for the first time, we say our affirmations several times throughout the day. The first time is right before bed. We pull out our list of affirmations. We say them out loud to ourselves to focus our subconscious mind to create new neural pathways throughout the evening as we sleep, so we can bring these things into fruition as if they're already happening to us. Then, after a restful, restorative night's sleep, we wake up in the morning rested and refreshed. We do not roll over and kiss the significant other. We do not let the poochie out to go potty. No. What we do is we pull out our affirmations and we read them again out loud to ourselves to focus our conscious mind on our higher purpose of the day. Not pick up dry cleaning, not make lunches for the kids, not get to work. But what is our higher purpose of all of this? Financial freedom, so we can have more time with the people that mean the most to us, our family. And then anytime we encounter negativity throughout the day, we want to say our affirmations again after that negative encounter, because we don't want to let anybody rain on our parade, and we're certainly not going to accept any invitations to someone else's pity party. So we'll find a quiet place where we can sneak off to. Sometimes it's the toilet. That's the only place here at my office I can find. And I go in there and I pull out my list of affirmations and say them again out loud to myself to refocus my conscious mind on my higher purpose of the day. Because what you think about, you bring about. And if you're focused on somebody else's garbage, it's just going to invite more garbage into your life. But if you refocus on what it is you truly desire, you will bring it to fruition. Our key action item is to create a financial snapshot using the four layers of risk and our ratios that we discussed today to determine how close or far away you are to beginning home ownership and or real estate investment. If you're already there, take that first step and implement what you have been learning throughout this season about good fiscal money management and real estate investment, and then get started. If you're not there, knock those ratios into shape. figure out the fastest way to whittle that debt down so you too can live every day the millionaire way. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks so much for Brian Evans stopping by and giving us real estate investment tips. Thank you, our dedicated listeners, who tune in each and every week to learn new financial concepts to implement into your lives with specific strategies to create financial freedom for you and your family. I wouldn't be here without you, and I am totally grateful for your participation. Thank you so much for being a part of things. And guess what? On Tuesday's show, Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go, we're going to talk about belief strategies and our millionaire focus. So please join us. Thanks again. And be sure to visit the website to download this week's strategy at unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhals saying thanks for joining us. Finally, financial freedom can be yours at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Thanks again for listening. And you go out and make it a millionaire day.